All right, so we are going to hear the story of Jesus' passion. We just heard in the beginning the story of his entry into Jerusalem. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus?
One
of his disciples, yes, Thomas. People who didn't really like him. And they hated him. Mac. The people who put him on a cross. Yep. Who killed Jesus? The disciples. Yeah, that's part of it. The Jews. Uh-huh. And Judas. So we're going to hear the story, the passion story, and we're going to hear all these different characters, and you're invited to think about all the parts of this. But I want to leave you with the idea that wondering, it's a natural wonder, of who killed Jesus might actually be counterproductive. Because as Freddy from the House of Cards, Season 3 says, you can't blame a snake that has fangs for having fangs. So things that happened to Jesus were part and parcel of the life that he lived. The Romans, who were in charge of Jesus' life, they were part of killing him. They really weren't the biggest culprit. The chief priests were part of Jesus' death. But they weren't really the biggest culprit. Because, you know, chief priests do what chief priests do. If you get a nice corner office, you want to keep it, don't you? And so their desire to hold on to power is what led them to some pretty terrible things. And that crowd. Oh, the crowd. Where we will yell, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You'll hear that in a little bit. Crowds do what crowds do. They do their own thing. They go this, that way, and the other. But the crowds didn't really ultimately kill Jesus. I'll tell you what really, really, really hurt Jesus. It was the silence of his friends. You know, when this thing was happening to Jesus, do you hear the disciples saying much? They weren't saying Hosanna. They probably weren't even being seen in the crowd. And when he was killed, they were certainly weren't around. And his friends were like a bad seven dwarves tale. You got angry Judas and grumpy and sleepy Peter. You've got John the Baptist, or John the disciple. You know what happened to him? He ran away naked. They grabbed his clothes and he ran away for his life. And he was naked. He did run away naked. I know, isn't that crazy? I knew I'd lose him at this point, so don't worry, we'll come back. I think it's pretty funny, too. But it wasn't the Jews' fault. It wasn't Rome's fault. It really, what hurt the most was the silence of his friends. Now, I want you to think about Jesus this week as we move into Holy Week and think about how you could be around Jesus, how you could show up for Jesus, how you could speak about Jesus, how you can talk about Jesus and what he means to you. So the exercise I want you guys to help me with and the congregation to help me with is I want you to make a big fist, a really tight fist. Now, what's a really big tight fist good for?
Punching.
Give a knuckle sandwich, right? It's good for hitting. No, sweetie, don't. That's my daughter. She's always doing this to me. Hi, sweetie. Not yet, sweetie. You can tell me later. So when you make that really tight fist, so it's good for breaking stuff. It's good for hitting stuff. But what else? Not really a lot. You can do fist bumps. That's what one of my kids told me. Yeah, you can do fist bumps. Like, boom. But that's about it. Now open your hand. This open hand is responsible for the very best things that have happened in human history. It has made art and music and beauty. It's the thing that doctors use to heal. This open hand has made more blessings in the world than anything a closed fist has ever done. And I want you to think about Jesus on this whole entry into Holy Week, that his hand and his heart were open through the whole thing. You can put your hands down if you want. You know, these people are going, hey, can I put them down now, please? That this open hand, open heart was there when Jesus went into Jerusalem. What did they say when he went into Jerusalem? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what did they say right before they killed him? Crucify him! And you know what's cool about Jesus? Is that his hand and his heart were open through all of that. He even kept his hand open when he was nailed to the cross and died. His hands were open to us and open to all people, and he never, ever, ever closed himself off to anybody. So I want you to think about how can you have an open hand and an open heart. And if you do that, you're going to be a little bit more like Jesus. We can talk about the devil later. You can be a little bit more like Jesus. Because, and I want to play this. Can you move your foot for a second, sweetie? I want to play a very short clip for you. Because I think it, for me, says more. You're not going to see anything. So here, look, everybody. There's a phone. Yes, yeah, there's a phone. There's nothing to see here. There is nothing to see here. Do not go like a moth to the flame. There's nothing to see. Do you see a big white screen? Okay. I knew it probably wouldn't work anyway, but I'm going to try. So what I want to play for you is a picture, what I think, of how God has opened his hands to us. He's never closed his hand in the picture of human love. Now, this story comes from an audio booth called StoryCorp, C-O-R-P. And it's about a boy talking to his dad. And the boy is interviewing his dad, and this is from the Sykes family. So just take a listen.
Proud of me?
Of course. You're my man. I just love everything about you, period.
The thing I love about you, you never give up on me. That's one of the things I will always remember about my dad.
Well, you said it like I'm on the way out of here, or like I'm already gone.
So, Dad, what are your dreams for me?
My dream is for you to live out your dreams. It's an old proverb that talks about when children are born, children come out with their fists closed because that's where they keep all their gifts. And as you grow, your hands learn to unfold because you're learning to release your gifts to the world. And so, for the rest of your life, I want to see you live with your hands unfolded.
That, to me, is a picture of human love that approaches the divine. The human love that kind of has an open hand and an open heart. And see, the secret about Palm Sunday is we can talk about all the bad things that we did. And we can go, oh, we're terrible people for saying that we killed Jesus. That's mine. No, I can't even, I got to sit on that thing. That we can walk around and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person for killing Jesus. But you know what the secret is? We didn't take his life from him. He gave his life to us. He gave his whole self to us. And no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter who we are, his hands are open to us. He is proud of us, not because we're particularly great people. He's proud of us because he has called us to be his children. He's proud of us. He loves I love everything about you. And I want you to hear that as we move into Holy Week. For he blesses us and keeps us. He is proud of us. And no matter what we do or wherever we go, he's always there for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.